active power in my name can easily speak evil of me. Do not stop them. I assure you, anyone who gives you a cup of cold water because you belong to Christ will not lack for a reward. And yet, whoever puts a stumbling block before those who are the least significant believer, it would be better for that person if a millstone were tied around his neck and he were cast into the sea. And so I tell you, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life with one hand than with two hands to be cast into the fire. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter the kingdom with one foot than with 2 feet to be cast into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. Better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be cast into the fires of hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. The Gospel of the Lord. We are in that passage of that part of St. Mark's Gospel where he puts before us the teachings of Jesus about discipleship, what it is to be his follower. And the circumstance that is drawn for us today is a point at which John the Apostle and perhaps others observed someone or some people working miraculous deeds in the name of Jesus, and yet they were not part of their group. They were not part of that group of disciples that John was identified with. They were outsiders. They were people who had perhaps a different way of acting or a different way of living out their commitment to Jesus. And so John wanted to stop this person from acting, and Jesus says, don't do it. Don't do it. If they're not against you, they're with you. Now, what John is experiencing and what Mark puts forth for his community is a challenge around some very basic human instincts. We all see the world through our own experience. And whether we like it or not, we have the tendency to believe that we stand at the center and that we are able to see and evaluate through our experience all that is beyond us. And the temptation is to say that my experience is what is right. My experience is what works. My experience is what ought to happen. And the higher up one is in the institution, whether that be a business or a church or a school or whatever, the higher up one is, the greater authority one has, the greater investment that person has in maintaining things the way they are. Because not only is that person comfortable with that, but that person is invested in that. The way things are is, if you will, a reflection of that person. And so it's not surprising that John sees someone who is very outside of his experience working deeds of power in the name of Jesus and wants to exclude that person. I was talking to a man the other day who has a home in northern Wisconsin, a little bit outside of Superior, Wisconsin. And there are many small towns in that area, although they're distant from each other, perhaps 10 or 15 miles apart from each other. And the towns are strong, they're vibrant towns, and they each have a Catholic church. And he said to me, you know, in the past couple months, the Franciscans have no longer been able to provide clergy for those parishes, and so now we have one priest who is trying to serve five of those communities. And there's no way that he can get to every church every weekend, every Sunday, and so he said in our town, we have Mass only every other Sunday or every third Sunday. Well, what you and I know is that there are other ways to address that issue. It does mean some fairly significant mindset changes and some fairly significant willingness to step beyond what is and what we know into something that is different and something we don't know. What we know is that what we're doing right now with regard to that question isn't working. And continuing to do it isn't going to make it work any better. But it's very difficult to move beyond that, because it means being able to see something that is different from what I normally see. And that's really where the second part of the gospel comes in. Now, it's a fairly gruesome picture. Jesus says, if your hand is what causes you to stumble, then cut it off. It's better to enter life with one hand than with two hands to be cast into the fire. Well, where those images come from is a practice of Jesus' time, especially a Roman practice. That a lenient judge could offer a lesser penalty even when the law asked for capital punishment. So, for instance, if a person was guilty of theft, of serious theft, the penalty was capital punishment. And yet, if a judge wanted to be lenient, the judge could issue the penalty that this person be maimed, that his right hand be cut off, and that would satisfy as an alternative to capital punishment. So Jesus is saying it's better to settle for the mitigated sentence than the capital punishment, than total loss. But Mark is using it to really describe what happens earlier in the story. One's eye can become a stumbling block if one's eye can only see what is in one's experience. One's hand can become a stumbling block if the only kind of work that one is willing to do is the work that I'm used to. One's foot can become a stumbling block if the road I walk is the only road that I will admit exists. And so Jesus is saying it is much better to step back and to admit that one doesn't see fully. It's better to step back and to see that one's work is not the only way. It's better to step back and to see that there may be other roads to walk. And that's precisely what the message in the first reading is that the Spirit of God is present. And you and I and others are invited to recognize that the Spirit has a way of leading us in different ways than we've been before. Now, it takes courage to accept that, even in very, very simple ways. As an example, over the past 2 years, the enrollment of St. Matthew's School has grown significantly. And where 3 or 4 years ago, it was not uncommon to have classrooms of, you know, of 15 or 16 students, now we have classrooms of 24 and 25 and 26 and 27 students. Well, teachers can get used to teaching a classroom of 14 or 15, and there are many ways in which that can be done effectively. But when you have a classroom of 25, 26, and 27, what is demanded is a different way of teaching. You can't just continue to do what you did before, it won't work. It demands something different. And that's a struggle. That's a struggle. Teachers need to be able to put aside what they've experienced as good and working and be willing to look at some other models that might be better given the circumstances that they're experiencing. I said to teachers, you had for many years to struggle as class size was downsized to provide excellence in education. Now the challenge is to struggle as class sizes increase to provide high quality education. The way I've seen it is not always all that is. So Jesus says to John, don't stop this person. This person who is doing a work of power in my name, that person will not easily speak ill of me. Those who are not against us are those who stand with us. Well, as we pray today, we ask that we be given the courage and the faith to be open to the work of the Spirit in each of our lives, in the life of our community, in the life of our society, in the life of our church, that the Spirit of God may lead us, that we might discover anew what God has in store for us.